Ventnor City Planning Board Meeting, April 28th, 2025.
15 Parker.
The April 28th meeting of the Ventnor City Zoning Board and Planning Board session is now in session. This meeting is being held in accordance with due public notice thereof pursuant to the New Jersey State Sunshine Law. Notice of this meeting was advertised in the press and the Current, and a copy of same has been posted on the bulletin board in the municipal building. At this time, we'll rise to salute the flag. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Our Board Administrator, please call the roll.
Commissioner Van Graaff?
Here.
Jay Cook?
Here.
Roman Zabi Hutch?
Here.
Dan Smith III?
Here.
Mike Leeson?
Here.
Peter Tocco?
Here.
Greer Gaskell?
Here.
Wendy Bartlett?
Here.
Jessica Spilly?
Here.
Absent are Mayor Kribel, Joe Iazanelli, Lorraine Salata, and Tim Coop.
Okay. Next item on the agenda is the minutes. Adoption of minutes from the April 9th meeting. Are there any amendments or corrections to said minutes? Hearing none, I have a motion and a second for adoption, please.
I'll make the motion.
Second.
All those in favor? Aye. Opposed? Ayes have it. The minutes are hereby adopted. Let the record reflect, we have a new Joe is now joining us as well. Joe, welcome. Okay, additional resolutions. We have the consistency report resolution, which is number 13 of 2025. It's a consistency report on the recommendations pursuant to New Jersey State 40A:12A-7C of the local development and housing law pertaining to the Ventnor Professional Campus redevelopment plan for the property designated as Block 23, Lot 1, and having a street address of 6601 Ventnor Avenue. We adopted Leo, could you explain that resolution, please? I think it'd be best there.
Sure. At our April 9th meeting, you'll recall that we had the presentation on the redevelopment plan. The city had introduced it by ordinance, and our job was to make a determination that it was consistent with the master plan and to make any recommendations concerning the report back to the governing body. What we determined, it's my understanding we determined that night, is we made a finding that it was consistent with the master plan. However, we made wanted certain recommendations to be made back to the governing body, and then we took it another step. If some or all of these recommendations are made, we still find it it'll still be consistent with the master plan. So basically what this resolution does, it sets forth some of the background, but the pertinent provisions, it says, the planning board hereby determines that the redevelopment plan attached here to as Exhibit A is consistent with the city's master plan. And then it says, the planning board recommends to the commissioners that, despite its consistency with the master plan, the redevelopment plan attached here as Exhibit A be amended to address those recommendations for the redevelopment plan set forth on the record before the planning board on April 9th, including, without limitation, reduced density, facade and building materials, preservation of parking along all frontages, lot and building coverages, and landscaping. Then it says the planning board further determines that, with the incorporations into the redevelopment plan of any or all of the recommendations made on the record before the planning board on April 9th, the redevelopment plan will remain consistent with the city's master plan.
One of the comments that was made about if they eventually do put in a road, that it not empty out on New Haven, is that something we also need to consider?
I kind of included catch-all language. I said all recommendations are made on the record, including without limitation, and then I listed some. If you think I need to add something in there, I can certainly do that. And I shared this with Mr. Floyd, our redevelopment attorney, I shared it with Jim Rotella, and I shared it with Jack Plackner, the developer's attorney, and they all responded and said, this looks good to me.
Good.
So.
Just an update from the, city commission side. We did not act on it last Thursday. We tabled it, left it on the table. What will most likely happen is that we will reintroduce, once we get a plan from it, we have not received anything from the, proposed redevelopment. So once that occurs, we will most likely reintroduce it, because I think there's a significant enough change, at least the proposals to me seem to be a significant enough change, that it has to be reintroduced by city commission. But we already have the planning board's consideration that it will be consistent with the master plan. So it won't come back here for that again.
Okay.
It will come back here for site plan approval. Once it's adopted and they start doing their final site plan design, it will come back to this body to get any approval that it would need from a site plan standpoint.
Could it be possible that before they submit the site plan, that we could encourage meetings between the planning board and the applicants?
Wouldn't be the whole board, because you'd have a conflict, it'd have to be in the public to do that. So you could do you could create a subcommittee to work with them on it. But really, the guidelines of a redevelopment plan tells them what they have to do. So while they heard all of our comments, they also were going to have a document now that actually says, here's the box, here's what's supposed to go in the box, now go make the box, go fill the box, something like that. But I had no problem, setting up, because they're gonna come with us, to us probably to meet, so grab a couple of you guys and sit in on it, so.
Great. That way we don't create a conflict when they actually.
Right, exactly. Smooth out the edges.
Exactly.
Yes, and then we'll just need a motion and a second to adopt this resolution, and then an all in favor, any opposed?
Okay.
I'll make the motion.
Have a second. You have a who seconded?
Dan.
Dan, okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. And it carries, and therefore it's adopted. Next up, we have two applications this evening. One at 30 North Portland Avenue, and the other is at 808 North Harbor Avenue. Portland Avenue is first, that is Robert Camusamano and Julie Marzano. I murdered those pretty well. And you are?
Good evening, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. My name is Michael Lario. I'm an attorney at the firm of Nemad, Davis, and Goldstein. I'm here this evening on behalf of the applicant, Robert Camusamano and Julie Marzano.
Okay.
Thank you. So this is an application seeking to demolish the existing duplex located at the subject site and construct a new flood-compliant duplex.
Pardon me one second, please. Stop. We have one member of the board that's going to recuse themselves. Could you pronounce for the record your recusal? You recuse yourself.
I recuse myself with the three houses away, so.
Oh, so you're on the 200-foot list?
I'm on the
200-foot
list.
That's an automatic.
All right.
Okay.
You want me to
know? Yes.
And the record reflect that Jessica is now removing herself physically from the board after the entire hearing and to be in the audience. Please proceed.
Thank you. As I was saying, this is an application to demolish the existing duplex and construct a new flood-compliant duplex at the subject site. The property, for the record, is located at 30 North Portland Avenue. It's block 121, lot 23. It's located within your R7 zoning district. It's actually located on the corner of Portland and Winchester. It's a corner property. The duplex has been on the site since approximately 1912, according to the tax records. The applicant, they've owned this site since 1995, and in 1998, they obtained a certificate of nonconformity, validating and again authorizing the continued occupation of that duplex. Obviously, with a property well over 100 years, it's beginning to show its age. The applicant is therefore proposing to demolish it and again construct a duplex at the site that meets the city's base flood elevation requirements. This plan, this application was originally submitted to this board sometime in early 2024. There was a number of comments and revisions requested as part of that plan submission. I think there was a total of 12 variances as part of that initial submission. There's been ongoing discussions with your board professionals, with the applicant, with the applicant's design team, to finalize the plan before you tonight. Essentially, we've addressed, we believe, the majority of the comments contained in that review memo, and we are seeking only two variances. The first is a technical variance, as I stated, because the property is on a corner lot. We have two front yards on Portland and Winchester. We're seeking a variance to allow for a 6-foot setback from Winchester where 10 feet is required. It's currently 5.8 feet. We are also seeking a variance for the third floor, the proportional size of the third floor in relation to the second floor. And our professional planner and engineer, Mr. John Barnhart, will speak a little bit more as to those specifics. Essentially, that's the nature of the application before you tonight. We believe the benefits of this plan, as you'll hear, greatly outweigh any potential detriment, particularly in light of the fact that this will be a new, modern, attractive home with ample parking, where currently there exists no parking, legal parking on site. So with all that, I'd like to turn to Mr. Barnhart.
All right.
Mr. Barnhart, just give us your name and business address for the record, please.
John Barnhart, office address 400 North Dover Avenue, Atlantic City.
Okay. Please raise your right hand. You swear from the testimony you'll give this evening will be the truth.
I do.
And I might as well get Roger sworn in. Mr. McLaren, do you swear or from the testimony you'll give throughout this evening will be the truth?
I do.
Okay. Mr. Barnhart's an engineer and planner.
Right. Mr. Barnhart, your credentials are acceptable.
Thank you.
As you appear before this board many times.
Thank you, sir.
Mr. Barnhart, you heard me during my opening describe a little bit, ask this question real quick. I'm sorry, Michael. Conditional use variance?
So,
I just saw that on Roger's letter. I can't sit on that.
Yeah, so the way we've looked at these, and I know there's been some discussion about amending the ordinance and then maybe making these permitted if you have a CNC, but we're going to wait till the master plan, was my understanding.
Right.
Either way, I think the wording of the ordinance is confusing. That I talked about this actually with Roger today, and we can, and I'll let the applicant make some comment. But we sort of looked at, if you have the CNC, that kind of takes you out of the, but you deviate from any of the bulk standards. We've been looking at those as a C variance. As long as you have that CNC, it's not having the CNC that kicks you into the D variance realm. Is that your interpretation, Roger? How?
I think that's what we whittled it down to.
When I see conditional use variance, I don't want to sit on the body that is invalidated what they're asking for.
Understood.
They're not asking for it. I mentioned that in my report from last year about the CNC, because I didn't know if the CNC was going to be accepted.
Gotcha. And I would just say, we've looked at it, we've reviewed the ordinance section. I think what's interesting is it doesn't list the bulk standards for duplexes, but it doesn't express and say these are conditions of the use the same way that it does for the certificate of nonconformity. And in my experience in talking with Mr. Mendez, usually when you have an additional use of the bulk standards, if there are conditions of the use, it's expressly listed that all these conditions must be satisfied. And it does not say that in the ordinance as it's written.
Right. And that's something we got to look at. If we want to make it that way, I think it needs to be cleaned up. In other words, you can have a two-family dwelling, and here are the conditions. One, you need a CNC for the existing one. Two, you have to meet all these bulk standards as conditions. And if that's the route we want to go. But I agree that we've looked at these as, when you deviate from the bulk standards, we've looked at it as a C variance. As long as you have the CNC.
So I'm good to say?
I believe so, yes.
Right. Just wanted to be clear.
Yeah. No, good, I appreciate it.
Mr. Barnhart, you heard in my opening, I described the site briefly. If you could, just so the board is oriented to the site in question, can you describe the existing improvements out there right now?
Sure. The site sits right on the corner of the southern corner of Winchester, Portland Avenue. It has frontage on Portland of 36 feet and has a total depth along Winchester of 75 feet.
It is an existing structure that sits on the property today as a two-family dwelling. I believe the certificate of nonconformity has been submitted, the city has a copy of it, and it is a legal existing two-family dwelling at this location. In discussion with our client, what we also learned is that the structure at one point where they actually initially purchased it also had a damaged basement apartment, so there was a time when it was actually a three-unit structure, but they since eliminated the basement area and have never used it as a residential space since their purchase of the property.
It was casualty of sanity.
Correct, that's my understanding. So the proposal is pretty simple. It goes to the heart of exactly why the city vendor put this ordinance into place, and that is to encourage folks that have existing two-family dwellings that are legally existing to encourage them to redevelop those properties. That's exactly what the Cusimanos are proposing here. They're proposing to completely demolish the building, which is not compliant with regard to flood, which, as I said, does have a basement apartment space. Although they are able to park along the side of the building coming off of Chester Avenue, where there is a curb cut there, there are no legal sized parking spaces on the site. So they have two units, and they really have no spaces that would comply with current land use ordinance with regard to parking. The proposal is to essentially match the setbacks on Winchester Avenue and the side setback, improve upon the side setback, which would really be the rear of the structure, and then develop a front yard setback along Portland Avenue that actually would comply in its entirety with the land use ordinance. As Mr. Larry already described, when this application was originally submitted, there were a total of 12 variances that were being requested. And they're actually already enumerated, or they're still enumerated in Mr. McLaren's report, and you'll see that the majority of them are crossed out. And that's a result of our client working with their home company through a multitude of iterations to try to come as much into compliance with the land use ordinance as they possibly can, which, as you know, from a land planning perspective, is what you're charged to do, is develop an application that requires the least amount of relief necessary to still make a viable and successful project. And that's what we believe the Cusimanos have done here. There are two variances that are being requested. The first variance is with regard to front yard setback along Winchester Avenue, where 10 feet is the requirement. We have two fronts and we have a narrow lot of 36 feet. So we are challenged in trying to make that front yard setback work. So what we have proposed is a 6-foot front yard, which is slightly greater than what exists today. The front wall on Winchester Avenue today is, I believe, 5.7 feet. So it's a consistent location as to where the building wall has been on this property since the early 1900s, as we've heard. But it's also important to recognize that in this zone, this is essentially, while a front yard by law, it's essentially the side yard of this project, or of this building, that the building has main front on Portland Avenue. As we know, the side yard setback in this location would actually be 4 feet, which is not a reasonable request when you're fronting on Winchester Avenue. But we will need 6 feet given the existing building location, the pattern of development along Winchester Avenue and the setback along Winchester, and the fact that it is a second front, which generally makes it difficult to comply with. For all of those factors, we believe that variance is justified with this application.
Mr. Barnard, we're also proposing, this was one in response to one of the comments from Mr. McLaren's report,
yes, sir,
landscaping along that entire side front yard.
That is correct. That is correct.
The entire view of that area, but for a single car wide driveway with about two stack spaces along Winchester Avenue, the entirety of that area will be green space landscaping. The landscape plan has been offered with the application, which completely complies with regard to total landscape, front yard landscape, number of shrubs, number of trees. All the elements of the landscape ordinance are being complied with this application.
Right. You mentioned parking. I think that's important. You sure the parking will be on site?
Sure. So the parking will be split into two locations for the two units. One unit will have two spaces with a single 9-foot wide curb cut on Winchester Avenue, which I believe actually reduces the curb cut width on Winchester. Right now, it's a little wider than that.
And then there is the second unit will have a 9-foot wide curb cut on Portland Avenue that is appropriately dimensioned away from the intersection from a safety perspective. and it will have an exterior space and then two interior spaces for a total of three spaces for that unit. So while this site is currently operating with zero existing legal parking spaces, this application will actually be going to five legally sized parking spaces as per the ordinance.
Now, we're also seeking a variance for the size of the third floor. Can you speak a little bit after that?
That's correct. So when you calculate the third floor in this application, if you use a strict definition and count the stairs at all levels, the percentage is 79%, where 70 is permitted. But the way that this building has been designed, and we kind of showed the cross-section, the way this building has been designed, the stairs on the third floor are not under an area that had to push the eave up to create a lot more building mass. They're under an area where the stairs actually fall in line with the upper roof. So we believe that that is an area that could be considered not having to count at the third level, which would drop that to 74%. Albeit it's still a variance, it's a much lesser variance than the 79. If you calculate all the stairs plus the elevator and all the other spaces that are greater than 5 feet in ceiling height. So the request is 79 from a conservative perspective. We believe that the calculation based on the definition of the floor space could be construed at 74%. But again, it is still a variance.
All right, before we get to the justification, all the other bulk standards, the front yard setback, height, coverage, fully compliant with all those standards to work into the building.
That's correct. That is 100% correct. And that's exactly Mr. McLaren's report.
Okay. So let's talk about justification for those two variances that we're seeking.
Sure.
We provided the setback variance on the C1 hardship criteria here in support of it.
Correct. With regard to the setback variance, I think it can be discussed under the C1 and the C2, but with regard to the C1, I think you have site narrowness at a 36-foot wide site that has two frontages, so it puts the site at a real disadvantage with regard to the potential width of the building. If you were to apply the 10 feet and 4 feet, you're at 14 feet of setback on a 36-foot wide lot, and it leaves you at 22 feet of building width, which is relatively narrow for a building. So we believe that a hardship variance request is appropriate there. With regard to the C2 criteria, we believe that this request also can fall under the C2, where the benefits of the deviation outweigh any of the potential detriments. Which also holds true on the other variance that we were asking for. And we believe that there are perks of the zoning that are advanced that support the positives, and that those are the creation of a more desirable visual environment through creative design techniques. A brand new building is being constructed here that will be completely compatible with the neighborhood. We also believe the purpose of zoning is advanced creating transportation. My mind just went blank there for a second. Improved transportation by way of providing five off-street parking spaces where none currently legally exist. We also believe that the application advances the general welfare by demolition of a building that is completely non-conforming with regard to flood and all current local building codes. So for all those reasons, we believe that the positive criteria are met with this application.
Turning to the negative criteria, first looking at substantial detriment to the public good, if you agree here, do you find any substantial detriment to the public good as part of the proposal?
No, I believe that with regard to that prong of the negative criteria, is there a substantial detriment to the public? I would argue that this is really a benefit to this neighborhood by improving upon the parking, by improving upon the circulation of the site, by improving upon the aesthetics of the site, by completely landscaping the property appropriately. The site will now have a garage area, will provide for additional storage, which it didn't have as it currently exists. So for all those reasons, we don't see that there is a substantial detriment to the public good, and frankly, there are just benefits from this application.
What about, is there a substantial detriment impact to the zone plan and zone ordinance with this proposal?
No, this is a contemplated use of this location, as we talked about when we started the application. This is a two-unit building. It does have a certificate of nonconformity, which essentially makes it a permitted use of this location.
by virtue of the work that our client did with their builder, or the building manufacturer, they were able to reduce this application to just two variances, which we think are very minor in nature, given the request.
So you believe the positive aspects of this application outweigh the negatives?
Substantially outweigh any potential negatives, that's correct.
Mr. Chairman, I have no further questions for Mr. Barnhart.
I have a question about the architectural. I noticed that it's by Signature Building Systems. As I look at this, 1B is the side of the building that faces the neighbor. There are 12 windows. 1C is the side that faces windows, and there's only 6 windows. I would think that, even though it's nice to have so many windows towards a neighbor, I would think that, as a neighbor, I would be more comfortable with the side of the house that has 6, as opposed to 12 windows, because the houses are so close. And I'm concerned that you don't want to have a wall on Winchester. It should get some front, so it should be more attractive. So hopefully, Signature Building Systems can modify what's being built so that the Winchester side looks more attractive instead of just a wall. And maybe they can switch. Obviously, the interior shows where the windows are in the rooms, so they're going to have to reconfigure the rooms, flip-flop something. I think they could do it.
Roman, if I can comment on that, I could have thought of that also, but because of the stairs and the elevator and where the driveway has to be, those stairs and elevator have to be on that Winchester Avenue side in order to get that driveway away from Winchester Avenue. Mm-hmm. But they probably could add some more windows on the stairwells and
definitely on that in that front room, it's not labeled as looks like it's adjacent to the living room.
Or
it looks like there could be a window added there, maybe even two stories on each floor. But there is an elevator and stairs.
Yeah.
I would definitely like to see more windows or something along that.
We don't want it to look like a sideway.
And if you recall what we asked right here on Sacramento Avenue, the house there on the corner, we asked them to kind of make that having the frontage look more like the front of the house and not so stark in a wall.
And I would add, I know the landscape is clearly not on the architectural elevations. There will be a number of plans there. I think visually break that out, but let me see.
That's what, mostly going to be at the ground level.
Sure, you're just saying higher up.
Yeah.
Let me see what we can create by way of like something.
Perfect. Sure, that makes sense.
And if you could recommend putting a window or two in the back.
I think what you're discussing is symmetry.
Yes.
In here. In other words, there's no balance in the front of the plan. So you have a right and a left. So you have a left and you have a right. So you need another right, another left. To balance the plan out so that it looks symmetrical. And I think that's what I think everybody's driving at.
And we have no objections to that.
I think it'll help the dwelling also.
Yes.
And it'll make it live much better.
I think it's a question of feasibility, but wherever feasible, we will add one.
Yeah, I mean, it's no problem for the architect to put it in.
Exactly.
In that location, in there.
And I think again, maybe in the back, too, just to have it.
Now, how much, John? How much space do you have between the garage door and the street itself for a car?
Between the garage door here and the property line.
Yeah, and the property line.
We have the required.
19. We have 19.
There's 19. Yeah. So we have a legal parking space that's not hanging over onto the public right of way in front of the garage door.
Perfect.
And then there's still 2 more spaces inside the garage.
That's even better.
That on that garage, in my report I mentioned the lack of a ground floor plan. Can we have that so we can see what's in there?
Yes. Which obviously will be parking and storage, but yes.
Right. We want to and not conversion agreement for that ground floor.
Yes.
Right. And we want that the on these properties now, that the parking not be block it by storage. In other words, that would be maintained free for the parking, because that's the component of the property in the approvals. Because, you know, now with these new interior parkings, you know, they tend to become storage areas. We can't have that.
Understood.
Is there any other suggestions you may have for the plan? Do you have any other suggestions?
No, sir.
Other questions?
I said it's a perfect plan.
Landscaping. How do you handle that?
They addressed my one comment from last year, and they added that they meet all the landscaping requirements.
They do, okay. All right. Trees, we have a waiver on trees, or we need a tree?
We're showing trees.
No, we're proposing trees.
Okay. Governor's strip.
Grass governor's strip.
By Joe, you've got it. So, board members, anything further to add? Or question?
Just want to reiterate that they've gone from 12 variances down to 2.
Yes, I remember that. Thank you very much, by the way. That'd be very good of you to do that. At this time, if you have nothing further, I'd open to the public. So at this time, is there anyone in the public who wishes to make comment on this application? Are you standing in line? At this time, it's hearing no comment and seeing no comment being asked for. Public portion is now closed. Would you like to sum up, please?
I would just, Mr. Chairman, members of the board, I would just thank everyone again for their time and attention. As you heard from Mr. Barnhart, we believe that there are numerous benefits associated with this project. It's a house that has existed for some time. It's going from a duplex to a duplex, but there's countless improvements, obviously, from a parking standpoint, from an architectural standpoint. We think this is clearly advancing the purposes of zoning with really no negative impact. If there's any additional questions or comments from any member of the board, we're happy to try to address them. And again, I thank you for your time and attention tonight.
And you congruent it with the Rogers report?
Yes. We've reviewed it. We have no objection to anything contained in Ms. McLarnon's report.
And are you complete?
We were deemed complete in the report. Yes, Mr. Chairman.
Are you complete now?
I am complete now.
Okay. Board members, do you have any questions of the applicant or of our professionals?
I think the suggestions that were made by Roman and about the windows are appropriate. I think if we can get those windows on that Winchester Avenue side, it'll open that wall up a little better.
Can you identify the room, please?
I think we've made it on the
correct. We have it.
I'll note that as a condition for Roger. You're okay reviewing that?
Is that acceptable to you?
It is, Mr. Chairman. It's an acceptable condition for the applicant.
Okay. So we have three conditions that I know of. Is that correct?
Yeah, I had that they'll put some windows on Winchester to be approved and by Mr. McLaren and his discretion. You'll show the ground floor plan and you'll maintain the parking spaces as parking spaces, and you'll supply the non-conversion agreement, which is required.
And the windows in the front of the property. That is, was that Winchester Avenue?
Along Winchester.
That's along Winchester.
Yes.
Okay.
And then possibly in the rear. And possibly in the rear.
No objections to those conditions.
And then the standard conditions, anything in Mr. McLaren's report, but otherwise addressed, any representations made during the course of this hearing, subject to outside approvals, just the standard ones. And then the two variances are the front yard setback here at 6 feet, I believe was the testimony.
Well, why don't you just form a motion? Be done with it. Are you ready for a motion? That's it. Let's form a motion.
We'll need a motion and a second to grant these two variances.
Well, could you form that motion, please?
Yes. Front yard setback, 6 feet where 10 feet required. Size of the third floor is 79% or 70%?
79.
79 is proposed, 70 is allowed. Right. And then the conditions that we went over, and we'll need a motion and a second and then a roll call vote.
I'll make the motion.
Have a second?
Second.
Will the board administrator please call the roll, or roll call vote?
Commissioner Langraff?
Yeah, One of the things that we always look at is if neighbors come out. Nobody came out to object to this application, so to me, that says they live there. We don't. Building's going back almost in the same location along Winchester Avenue. I think it's 0.2 feet different. Went from 5.8 feet to 6 feet, so they're kind of hampered by that second front yard. I'm happy that they pushed the building back on Portland Avenue to reduce that front yard setback to a compliant, was it 12 feet? 10 feet? It's 12.
10 foot further.
Yeah, line of the first floor is at 12 feet, and the porches are allowed to approach, so they're allowed to do that. Good job removing a lot of the variances here. I think that would have been a problem for us with all the variants that were on here before. Roger did a good job negotiating, I'll say. Getting a lot of that pushback and getting a compliant plan. With the conditions I think we're putting on there, with adding some windows, I think I can support the application. I vote yes.
Jay Cook?
I'm going to vote yes for this application. First of all, I'd like to state that basically this particular ordinance was put in play so that we had duplexes that could be renovated or replaced rather than be renovated. The structures were old, dilapidated in some cases, didn't warrant renovation. They warrant replacement. So the idea was to permit an owner to replace it in body, not be punished for doing the work that it was trying to do. And here's a good example of getting some improvement for the city, but at the same time, allowing the owners to develop or redevelop a property and bring a now, you place an obsolete building with a new building, a new structure, which is a conformance and a better investment for them as well as the city. So I commend you for going through the process of doing this and then making all the changes that were necessary. So to you, my hat's off to you. And thank you for cooperating with that. And it meets the plan. The comments that Commissioner Landgraf made were very appropriate. He sensed the right points in the plan, and they went further to cooperate and make this a viable plan for the future in the city. So with that, it does conform to our master plan, and it actually integrates in the neighborhood extremely well. It's an improvement. So again, thank you for setting an example. And I vote yes.
Roman Zadenhuch.
I also vote yes. I find that the variances are justifiable with what's being proposed. I'm grateful about windows on Winchester to make it look more presentable. It's getting rid of an old building with a new building, so it'll add an attractive addition to the city. So yes.
Dan Smith III.
I'm also going to vote in favor of the application. I think that it complies with our master plan take a duplex like this and reconstruct it, new ratables, new structure. There's no negative comments to it. Applicants were really willing to listen to our comments and look at complying with it. I see no negativity at all.
Mike Wiesen.
I vote in favor of it. I appreciate the clients listening to our suggestions. Agree. So I vote.
Peter Taco.
I'll also vote in favor of the application. I do see that, it's a corner lot. It does create some problems, some challenges. And to get it down to 2 variances from 12 is quite a feat.
Rear Gaskell.
I'll vote yes also. I don't think we've definitely
meant
to be right. And it's going to be
Wendy Bartlett.
I also vote in favor of the application. I appreciate that the variance is reduced from 12 to 2, and I appreciate the flexibility of including the Mr. Adams side. And for all the other reasons, I just
Mr. Chairman, members of the board, I want to thank you again for your time and attention tonight.
Thank you. Okay. Congratulations. Congratulations, everyone. All right, next application, Dorothy Conzio.
Great job.
Jessica.
You ready, Mr. Cook?
We're going to do a preamble on this one.
Okay.
Brian wants to do an introduction.
You can do an introduction, then we'll do a preamble. That's it.
Good evening, Brian Callahan, on behalf of Dorothy Conzio. Properties 808 North Harvard Avenue, Block 317, Lot 15.01. Just for the record, all jurisdictional requirements have been met. This is a modification to an existing single-family home. We're asking for some C variance relief. Purpose of the project overall is we're adding a 6x20 addition to the garage space to actually have storage space. Purpose is, Mr. Ponzio is getting, like me, semi-retired. So the purpose is to take all the fishing equipment, crab pots and everything else, get it into storage space. So if he and Donnie go to Florida during the wintertime, they can actually get the car in the garage out of the driveway space. And the back decking area is, at the present time, they have some awnings out there which have blown off a couple times. So by putting a second floor deck over top, it A, stops the sunlight from burning down, gives them space below where they can sit out and have dinner and do those types of things. I have Pete Weiss here with me, and I have John Barnhart, and they can technically walk you through the project. So that's my preamble, Mr. Cook. Okay.
That's it. Roger?
Real quick.
Can you go scope?
Yes. The report is based on the application of Dorothy Ponzio, 808 Harvard Avenue, Block 317, Lot 15.01. C variances are located in the R2 single family zoning district. This is not in the coastal A zone, it's adjacent to the coastal A zone, so they don't have to worry about those standards. And yeah, just to reiterate what Mr. Callahan said, when I saw the storage room, I thought the same thing. Wow, so they can park a car there. A couple variances are needed. One is a front yard setback to the storage area where 20 feet is required, or at 18.57. Again, a variance is granted for the front yard setback to the main house back in 2005, I believe it was. Side yard setback to the principal structure on the left side, 8 feet required, 7.5 feet exists, and 5 feet is proposed. And again, that's to the storage area. Deck setback on the right side for the second floor deck. You're expanding a non-conforming setback, 8 feet required, and they're proposing 5.5 on the second floor deck. And also the decks over a second floor decks are not permitted outside of the building envelope over a first floor deck. And again, that's one of those items that we're going to be looking at for these ordinance revisions, but it's technically a variance. Same with any other waterfront property, they're asking the same thing. So the rear yard setback to the second floor deck is also supposed to be 15 foot, which is the building setback. Again, they're hamstrung by the location of the bulkhead. So they're at 6.5 feet is existing and 0 feet is proposed. Again, the second floor deck is higher than the first floor deck, obviously, and that requires a variance. And coverages, for building coverages and lot coverage, they're already existing non-conforming, and they're just increasing the non-conformancies just a little bit. And I believe that's it on the variances.
again, the minimum area for this lot, this location, is 4,800 square feet. They have 4,177 square feet of upland area. So right there, they're kind of reduced in area. And, but they actually have 5,625 square feet, including riparian areas. So I think that's important for the board to know. And again, with every house that's been along Harvard Avenue on this side of the pop, on this side of Harvard Avenue, they've all had issues with the side yard setbacks or and the depths in the front yard setback. So the front yard setback is actually in conformance with, I'd say, 90% of all the homes on Harvard Avenue at this location. Mr. Callahan, we'll turn it over to you.
I mean, Mr. Cook, let's just have Mr. Weiss and Mr. Barnhart sworn in, and then we go from there.
Okay. You guys can just give us your name and business address, and I'll swear the two of you again.
Peter Weiss, 38 East Oak Crest Avenue, Northfield.
John Barnhart, 400 North Dover Avenue, Atlantic City.
Okay. If you can each please raise your right hand, each swear affirm the testimony you'll give this evening will be the truth.
I do.
Okay.
Okay. For the record, John, your credentials as a planner and engineer are acceptable. Peter, as an architect, you're acceptable.
Thank you.
Here before, here before.
All right, John, why don't you, take a seat, relax for a second. Why don't you walk me through what's existing and then what we're proposing, then we'll go over the variance relief.
Sure. First of all, you have to mention it's absolutely torture to our guy that they're not here. They've had a trip planned for over a year. Dottie's been calling me just until she got on the plane about this.
Well, I was going to say this has to be the worst plane you've ever had to work.
It is, actually. Most difficult. Yeah, everything about it is terrible. That's right.
Make sure you tell her I said that.
So, all right, so the application is relatively simple. There's two aspects of the project that I just changed the ground on this exhibit. But this is essentially the plan that was submitted with the application. The condos that lived in this house, they built it about 10 years ago, and they've been living there ever since, and they're just trying to now address some things that they would like to improve upon since they built the house and realize that they maybe should have done some things a little bit different with regard to their storage and also the deck areas. So the first thing I'll discuss is with regard to the expansion of their garage area. Their goal is to there's a door that leads out of their garage into the side yard now. That door will actually remain as a pass-through and would allow for access to the storage area, which has a 6-foot width and a 20-foot, just over 20-foot deep area. If you look at the architecture plans by Mr. Weiss, he's done a really good job at integrating it into the building design so that it doesn't just look like a shed roof coming off the side of the building and something that wasn't happening. I do believe it's a really nice fit to make the building look like a 1.5-car garage, which is giving them the storage. And exactly as Mr. Calvin mentioned, right now the area is available for parking. Their goal is to be able to park a car inside. They do have a lot of, as we mentioned in the prior application, a lot of folks are using their garage for storage. That's what the condos have been doing since they moved in, just because they needed the storage space. They want to be able to park inside the garage. As they get older, they want to be able to park, get out of the weather, and then when they're not home, be able to obviously store their vehicle in the garage. And then the second aspect of the project is with regard to their rear deck. They have a rear deck, a second floor deck now. It is within the confines of the building footprint. It's off of their bedroom. What they're proposing to do is to expand upon that deck to match the footprint of the deck that's at the first floor. The first floor deck in the shape you see here is exactly what exists today. Their plan is to cover that portion of the deck with their second floor deck by expanding upon it. What it does for them is a couple of things. First of all, the second floor deck structure as it exists drops a column right almost in the center of what is currently their usable first floor deck. So you can see the line on the plan, there's a column right here where my finger's pointing, which has made their first floor deck area kind of bifurcated and more difficult to use than they were hoping for. What they're also looking to do is to provide some additional shade, so that second floor deck provides some shade to the first floor. They have had a couple of different awning solutions, and each one seems to not do well in the conditions that they're in. So they believe that developing a structure like this, there would be a permanent structure will help get the shade and protection that they're looking for. And then obviously also gives them a larger area coming out of their bedroom area for that second floor deck. The request do have a number of variances, as Mr. McLaren's report points out. I'll go back to the garage for a second. Thankfully, that there's a front yard setback variance required, where 18.57 feet. The proposal is to match the front wall of the house. That you mentioned was approved with the original application that came before this board, which led to the home being constructed. The second variance with regard to that garage area is we're proposing a 5-foot side yard setback where 8 feet would be required. And then the third variance is with regard to the increase in building coverage, a slight increase in building coverage for that garage area. I do want to mention that that garage is only one story. It doesn't go all the way up to a second level. There's no expansion of space on the second floor. The variances that are necessary with regard to the deck are the side yard setback, where 8 feet it would be required. 5.5 was approved in the original application for the first floor deck. And we're proposing to match that 5.5 at the second floor, which allows us to then marry and align the structures on the first and second floor so the columns can be continuous. That same issue holds true on the bulkhead. We're proposing to go to the bulkhead so that we can again align the structure along the bulkhead with the first floor deck. We believe that the application is very much appropriate, first of all, with regard to the rear deck area. If you are familiar with the area and have seen these homes from the water, you see that many of the homes have a corner second floor deck which go out to the bulkhead. In fact, we portrayed them on the exhibit. The homes on both sides of the Ponzios actually have exactly that. If you keep going down the block, many of them have very, very, very similar second floor deck areas. One of the challenges of these properties, and I think it was mentioned by Mr. Callahan and Mr. McLaren, is that while the properties have a nice frontage of 75 feet, the bulkhead depths off the street are relatively narrow given these beautiful lots, so they create shallowness to the lots. So to become a challenge, we probably come in for almost every one of these properties on Harvard Avenue. It's been a challenge to develop these properties. I'll say a challenge. I mean, they're wonderful properties, they're beautiful properties, beautiful homes, but the expectation on those properties has been challenging to get the living space and the deck space and the things that would be customary to a property like this because of the shallowness of these properties. So that's why many, many, if not all, have gotten variances of some sort. So because of the compatibility of our neighbors and the consistency of that second level deck, we think that that area is very much appropriate. With regard to the garage, because it is only a one-story area, because it actually does help to free up the garage for use for parking, and because of the fact that Mr. Weiss has done such a great job with integrating it architecturally to not make it look like an addition, which is what the Ponzios were absolutely trying to avoid, we believe that it definitely adds an aesthetic value. 5-foot side yard, as you know, many zones, a 5-foot side yard would be a permitted side yard. It is appropriate for proper and safe passage. I believe it still is more than adequate from a fire perspective to get around the building. We did look at the position of that as it compares to the windows above, and it isn't any creating any kind of egress issue. The only bedroom on the second level of this area is in the back of the building, and it actually has its own door and to a small deck, so there is proper egress from that space. So this is the type of application where we believe that it all kind of qualifies under the C2, where the benefits of the deviation outweigh the detriments. The benefits being the further beautification of a property that's already a very, very well-kept beautiful property to allow Ponzios to continue to live in the home and address the concerns and issues that they've been trying to make better for themselves over the years.
I don't have any other questions. Wait,
one other thing, Brian. We did the math, I didn't want to look at the property. I'm not sure that we need a coverage variance because this area is already concrete where the garage space is going, and this area is already deck going above the existing deck.
Was that deck slotted?
Currently? Yeah, you know what it is? It's E-pay.
Right.
That's what it is. Yeah, it's E-pay right now, that's right.
Negative. Do you see any type of substantial detriment to the neighbors or the character of the neighborhood?
I know, again, you know, the rear decks are very much consistent with the neighboring properties, not just in the area, but specifically on either side of this property. And the garage area, because they kept the front yard setback and they're still keeping an appropriate side yard, we believe there is no substantial detriment to the neighbors.
And the neighbors on both sides of us are similarly houses built, because their bulkheads are within 6 inches of each other, so front yard setbacks, rear yard setback, deck setbacks, second floor deck setbacks all match up with what we're doing right now?
Yes, there's a tremendous consistency to development of these houses as they've been constructed.
Right. And no substantial detriment to the zone plan or zoning ordinances?
No, for all the reasons I've already stated.
I don't have any other questions, Mr. Barnhart. I'll open up to the board.
Is there an elevation of the property?
Yeah, we
had a senior architectural. We're not supplying.
Only three back.
You'll bring it over there, Mr. Cocker, so you can see it a little better?
I would like to.
Yeah, I thought it was in the package. That's why you were looking when I said the,
I was doing the same thing.
Well, it was hard to convince Mark to hire Pete again to show it to him, so I turned in three sets to Carmel, now having the original sets turned into the board.
Gotcha. Pass that around, that'd be helpful. I should kind of wrap the roof around the side.
Yes.
Bring that out.
There's a window in the top.
Okay.
And as Roger was saying, you know, one of the challenges that I've had for 20 years of doing this at Harvard Avenue, you could never get the state of New Jersey to give us a straight line going down Harvard Avenue. So some people were 55 feet, then it was a 54 foot, then you were 56 feet. So when you look down Harvard Avenue, your bulkheads go in, out, in, out, in, out. Because you couldn't get the state to ever say, why don't we just pick a number, we'll give you one straight shot down. Make it a heck of a lot easier than when you were doing it.
The narrowest spot on the street is Verlino's house, two houses up toward the point. That's the narrowest spot on the entire street. Is it 49 feet?
So as Mr. Cook knows, he's been here for 20 years watching every application come in with 6 inches, a foot here, a foot there, go in.
I lived there for 20 years, so that's right three houses away from him.
Right.
So that's why we know it. I haven't lived there in 6 years.
400. That's what I'm saying. But you couldn't get the state just to pick a number, just run straight down.
The other thing to consider with this whole thing is that the backyard is basically the waterway exposed to it. And so I've seen. That it's exposed to the waterway. We consider all the waterfront properties like that on the street.
Any other questions? Do we need to bring Mr. Weiss up for testimony, or is everybody okay?
How's the board feel?
Good.
I'm good.
Good.
The board feels good. Peter?
Mr. Weiss, you did a great job.
With that,
I did want to hear how his voice sounds on the microphone.
Yeah, he's a little noisy tonight.
He just said some of my best work. I'll do the translation.
I hate to interrupt your session, but I'll open up to the public at this time. Is there anyone in the public who wishes to make comment on this application? After perusing the audience, I see no indication anyone wishes to make comment. So therefore, no comment. So therefore, public portion is now closed. Brian, would you care to sum your...
We just think it's a nice application. People who have lived there for a number of years, just finishing off the property to make it suitable for the lifestyle as they get a little older, satisfied. And we're also, I read Mr. Minicarnas' report, and we're completely satisfied with it. We'll comply with it, everything else for final plan certification.
So the non-conversion agreement has to include that area now.
Say that again?
The non-conversion agreement has to include that new area.
Yes, the non-conversion agreement would include that area also.
Yes.
Okay. Have you read Mr. McLennan's report? Are you congruent with it?
We do.
Okay. Are you complete?
We are.
Then, first of all, are there any other questions of the board as far as the applicant or of the professionals? Not? Leo, could you frame a motion, please, as long as I'm the affirmative, and we'll have a vote.
Sure. I'll summarize the variances, then we'll need and the relief, and we'll need a motion in a second. So C variances, front yard setback of 18.57 feet, where 20 feet is required. Side yard setback on the left side of that storage area, 5 feet proposed, 8 feet the requirement. The side yard setback to the new deck, 8 feet the requirement, and 5.5 feet is proposed. And then the rear yard setback to the second floor deck has to be 15 feet, and they're at zero. And then you're not allowed to have a rear yard deck higher than at the second level, and they're proposing one on the water. And then the two coverage variances are for the building coverage, 40% is allowed, they're at 45.3%, and lot coverage, 65% is allowed, and they're at 74.6%. Waiver from submitting a landscaping plan is noted in Mr. McCarn's report, and then the conditions, I'll note that the non-conversion agreement has to include that new area, and then the standard conditions, anything else in Mr. McCarn's report, unless otherwise addressed, subject to any outside approvals and any representations made during the course of the hearing. Just the standard ones.
Okay. We have a motion and a second, please.
I'll make the motion.
Second.
Have a roll call vote. State your reasons, please.
Commissioner Van Graaff?
I vote in favor of the application. We all need more storage in our houses. The lot is challenged with how deep it is. Obviously, there's no neighbors here to object to the application. That always rings a resonance with me if you're speaking to folks here or against the application. I don't see it as a detriment gained out after a space along that water. The chairman said it right, that is a front yard on the water there, so I think it's a good application. I vote yes.
Joe Iannacelli?
I also vote yes.
I'm going to vote yes for the application and the variances they're seeking are very typical of almost every house on that street. There's nothing unusual of what they're asking. And they're all warranted, to be very honest with you. The lifestyle on that side of the street, on the waterfront, warrants them these things. And it just lends itself better to a cleaner looking community, better looking houses, and a better lifestyle within the community itself, and just a better ambiance within the structures themselves, and cleaner. So the fulfillment of the master plan is being done, and conformance to what is the environment of the area, and the developmental pattern is consistent. So I vote yes.
Roman Zappy Hutch?
The variances are consistent and with what's in the neighborhood, and it seems quite reasonable. So, yes.
Dan Smith III?
I also vote in favor with all the comments that have been made that this is typical of Harvard Avenue waterfront properties and the challenges they have. Trying to get some outside space, and Dottie and Art, I usually tell people wait a year before you make any changes, but they did the 10-year change. It's good.
Mike Wiesen?
I also vote yes. I remember years ago, Mr. Ponzio was presenting a case in parking being talked about, and he says, how many year frames park in your garage when they come to visit you? So that's nobody. So at least he's going to get his car in the garage and put all his fish and stuff on the side.
Peter Taco?
I'll vote in favor of the application also. I believe that the variance is justified, based on the unique topography of those lots on Harvard Avenue. and very consistent with the rest of the development along that stretch.
Greer Gaspel?
Although, yes, I don't believe we really get the money to make a road. Those lots are shot up and all over the part of the avenue, which has been said. I think this is one of the sure not to get more submission to do.
Wendy Bartlett?
I'll also vote in favor of the application. I think Mr. Weiss did a nice job in making it work for the house. It's not a stand out, and it's very attractive and for all the reasons that we've been sustained.
Sid?
Thank you very much.
Motion carries. Congratulations. And let the positives go that they have been approved. And with that, thank you very much this evening, gentlemen. And Peter, you're awful noisy tonight. You have to hold it down. Board members, is there any of you friendly wish to add to business? Done. Then may I have a motion for adjournment?
I'll make a move.
Yeah. All those in favor?
Aye.
Okay. I don't want anybody to vote.
Have a good evening.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.